You're listening to Cannabis Health Radio. Here are your hosts, Ian Jessup and Corey Yelland.
Welcome to another edition of Cannabis Health Radio. I'm Ian Jessup.
And I'm Corey Yelland.
Just a reminder to listeners that we're still trying to raise funds to continue Cannabis Health Radio. Our purpose in doing this is to make a difference in the lives of others by inspiring and empowering them to improve their health, primarily through the use of medical cannabis. If you'd like to help us out, and if you'd like to see us continue with Cannabis Health Radio, go to our website, cannabishealthradio.com, and go to the donate page and make a contribution, either a one-time contribution or be a monthly donor. And you can do that, and you can help us continue bringing these inspiring stories and empowering stories of people who have had very debilitating diseases and have recovered through the use of cannabis. And for those who have contributed thus far, we thank you from the bottom of our heart. Our guest today was diagnosed with endometrial cancer. Now, endometrial cancer starts when cells in the inner lining of the uterus, the endometrium, begin to grow out of control. And joining us to talk about how she conquered her cancer is Mary Craig of Tucson, Arizona. Mary, very good of you to do this. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Mary, take us back to April of 2015 when you were first diagnosed. What were some of the problems you were experiencing that led you to see a doctor?
Started menopause in 2012, and then I'd had like a week of light spotting and then some odor to the urine that was really bad. And that was about it that led me to the doctor.
And you went to the doctor, and what did the doctor tell you?
Well, they did an ultrasound and a vaginal ultrasound and saw that my endometrium was thicker than what it should be.
Okay. Yeah,
and then a biopsy was ordered.
And did the doctor offer any treatment at all?
At that time, no.
Nothing at all?
No.
And what did the biopsy show?
It showed, at that time, they had said it was stage 2 cancer.
Endometrial cancer.
Yep, endometrial. Mm-hmm.
And so, did he suggest anything to you? Did he say, we're just going to watch this? Did he say, we need to do chemotherapy?
Oh, no. Yeah, they wanted me to schedule a hysterectomy directly, and that's what I did do.
So, you had a hysterectomy.
Yeah, the beginning of May. So I was diagnosed April 29th, my dad's birthday, with the cancer, and then had the hysterectomy on the 12th of May. So it moved really quickly. You know how they push you right along.
Right.
Yeah. And then I was agreeable to that. I thought that was in my best interest, just to remove as much of it as I could at that moment. Now, upon learning more, it's not always necessary, but I don't regret doing it.
What did they tell you after the hysterectomy about your cancer?
That there had been one lymph node involved, they wanted me to start chemotherapy directly.
What was your reaction to that?
I wasn't going to do it. I had already found a naturopathic doctor that I had seen before I even had the surgery. I'm an all-natural type person and have been for years already. I watched my mom have chemotherapy and die of symptoms from that. That I already knew that there wasn't any way that I was gonna do everything else that I possibly could.
So did you have a game plan in place already then?
No, it was a very large learning scale. The naturopathic doctor definitely pointed me in the right direction, and I started, I was a vegetarian for 20 years, and I became a vegan. I was a bad vegetarian. My daughter called me a breaditarian because I like bread and rice and potatoes and all those things that we're not supposed to eat.
A breaditarian.
So, yeah.
And if you were a vegetarian and you ate fish, they call you, what do they call you, a vegiquarian?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I was a bad vegetarian. I didn't really even like my veggies much, so I just didn't eat meat, you know, and that's how it was.
Yeah.
But
no, Mary, when you when they tried to get you on chemo, did they pressure you at all?
Yes, there was some pressure, and I did end up switching oncologists because the first one that actually did the surgery wasn't willing to work with my naturopath. She did the surgery, and she did a great job, but then that was it. I cut all ties with her and found a different one, and he was of the same boat. He wanted me to do the chemotherapy also, but he would work with my naturopath.
I think it's interesting that the your female oncologist wouldn't work with a naturopath. I wonder why. I mean, it's just your health, your good health is what's important.
Yeah, they are stuck in such a mindset that they're not even open to hearing about it, about you know what I do or how well it's worked or.
Mary, what was your state of mind when all this was going on?
Ugh. I was a mess. Oh my goodness! It has been a very bad experience to start, but I've learned a lot, and you know, I've turned it into a positive. I hope with sharing and telling and helping others. And
Mary, yeah. When you started at the beginning here, did you say you were stage two or stage three?
At the biopsy, they said stage two, but then after the hysterectomy, it was stage grade three, stage 3C rather.
Okay, so yeah, I'm noticing here high grade clear cell change and carcinoma of the endometrium. So you go to
that clear cell, that's a more rare aggressive form of carcinoma.
Okay. So you go to the naturopath, and you were saying he put you in the right direction. So what kind of stuff did he suggest you do?
Well, completely, you know, change the diet. No more milk, dairy, sugars, or wheat.
Okay.
And then exercise, getting out and exercising, and I started a supplement, mini supplements. But then I went to his office for 12 straight weeks. It actually ended up to be 14, I believe, where I received high IV vitamin C.
Vitamin
IVs
C?
Twice a week.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was taking the Laetril, the B17.
Okay.
And mistletoe injections three times a week.
What are mistletoe injections? I've never heard that.
Iskador Molly mistletoe. It's a very well known in Germany and in other countries.
I know a number of my people have done mistletoe.
Yeah, it's a 5-year commitment when you start.
Oh, I didn't realize that. So when did you come across? So you're doing this. You've done the vitamin C, and you're doing the mistletoe, etc. And you've changed your diet, and you're doing supplements. So when did you come across cannabis oil, and how did you find out about cannabis oil?
I've always been a cannabis user, to be honest with you. And so, you know, upon being diagnosed and research, that was kind of an easy path to take.
And how much oil were you taking?
Oh, gosh, at the very beginning, for like the first 6 months, I worked up to over a gram a day and took it four times a day, the CBD oil. Mine comes separated, CBD and THC in separate syringes. And so I take the CBD three times a day and the THC once a day.
So do you do sorry, go ahead.
Yes?
I was just going to say, do you do the THC at night?
And I do.
Okay, and then the CBD in the daytime?
Yes.
Okay.
And then I also did fasting. how fasting is so good for the body when it's not having to process all the food. It actually has time to heal itself. And so I would fast every day before the sauna and then go, before the IVC. And then I would sit in an infrared sauna after the IVC. And then I would break the fast.
So you weren't eating that much.
It was only twice a week that I did the IVC, so I only fasted just those 2 days.
So intermittent fasting, I think, is what they call it today.
Yes, yeah, and I thought it worked great. And then I did coffee enemas and yoga and meditation.
Well, you did it all. How much vitamin C were you taking in the IV?
50 grams.
50 grams, wow. Yeah, there's a lot of evidence now to show that high dosages of vitamin C intravenously actually kill cancer cells.
Yeah, and I am continuing with it. Every other month I receive IVs, 8 a month, and 1 month on and 1 month off. So
I know Dr. Bob Melamed is big on vitamin C infusions, particularly with cannabis oil-resistant cancers, and what you do is you're on the oil for a few weeks and then you begin the infusions, and apparently there's quite a bit of success with the two combined.
Very good. I'd love to hear success stories for sure.
When you were on the vitamin C IV and you were getting 50 milligrams twice a week, how did you feel after you got the injections?
Oh, it gives you a bit of energy. It makes you feel pretty nice and healthy. I was always a healthy person before, I thought. And so I never really had much for colds or that type of issue anyway, but I definitely haven't had any since being on the IVCs. I think they make you feel very well.
So you were on mistletoe injections. Do you still take the mistletoe injections?
I do, yes.
You have 5 years you have to take them, you said.
Yes, and they're in your belly.
Oh.
In the stomach is where you give the injection.
Now, you also did far infrared saunas, and I was looking that up today, and both the American and Canadian Cancer Society state that very high temperatures can kill cancer cells outright and shrink tumors. And it's a treatment that's used in Germany and Mexico, and it's called hyperthermia. And you did that twice a week as well?
I did, yes.
What other supplements were you taking, Mary?
Curcumin and melatonin. And one of the biggest ones is, it's called AHCC. It's actually derived from mushrooms, medicinal mushrooms.
AHCC.
Yep, AHCC.
What does that stand for?
You know, it's probably a very scientific thing is all it really is.
Okay.
Yeah, AHCC is good enough for us.
Yeah, we'll stick with that.
Yeah, it's active hexose correlated compound.
AHCC is better.
Yeah, yeah. That's quite a mouthful.
It is. But that's one of the top supplements that I feel that I take for the immune system.
And you continue to take cannabis oil as well?
I do. I still take it 3 times a day. I've just reduced it down to a very small amount every day.
So in April of 2015, you were diagnosed with cancer. And by the end of September, you went back and you were cancer-free. Is that correct?
Yes, the PET scan had showed that there wasn't anything.
Were the doctors surprised?
I think the regular oncologist was surprised, yes.
The female who didn't...
Not the naturopath so much.
Yeah, the female who didn't want to work with you, or the male?
The new male. Because she, the first oncologist didn't even know.
And what was it like for you emotionally to be told you were cancer-free?
Very freeing and joyful and grateful. It was really inspirational to have done it my way, the natural way, and it was gone. And I know I was very lucky. A lot of it had to do with, you know, that it was the surgery that I did removed it. And only one lymph node out of, they only took seven, was involved. So I maybe caught it in the nick of time. I will always be worried because it was clear cell histology and rare and aggressive. That's why I want to continue my diligence always.
How do you feel physically now compared to, say, just before you were diagnosed with cancer?
Well, I think I aged greatly in my face. I think the stress of it, I mean, it put a lot of stress and a lot of burden on me and my teeny tiny little family that I have.
When you were going through this and you're doing all these different modalities of treatment to try and get better, did you think you would get better? Did you think you'd conquer this? Did you have faith in what you were doing? Or how were you feeling about that?
Yep, I absolutely did have faith that it was going to work. That's one of the things is, you know, that's why the yoga and the meditation is, you know, live in the moment. And
yeah, I think attitude plays quite a big part.
I certainly agree that it does. You have to have a positive attitude. Whatever you project is what you're going to get in life a lot. Not always, but...
Yeah, absolutely. When you were meditating, did you visualize a cancer-free body?
I am not really very good at meditation. I'm a Gemini, so my mind never stops.
But I imagine the yoga was helpful to you.
It is. I had a lot of weight loss, and so I lost a lot of muscle. I'm still very much working on trying to rebuild my weight and my muscle tone.
How much weight did you lose, Mary?
Probably about 25 pounds.
But you feel better. You're cancer-free. I mean, that's great. Tell me about your family's predisposition to cancer.
So my mother had bladder cancer, and then my oldest sister had endometrial, and then another one had breast. And so then when I got endometrial, it was actually that first surgeon that did the surgery. She didn't think that I would have Lynch syndrome, but it does turn out that we do have a predisposition to colon cancer and endometrial mostly, but there's lots and lots of other cancers that fit in under that also.
What's the syndrome you referred to?
Lynch.
L-Y-N-C-H.
Yeah, what exactly is that?
It's mostly known for colon cancer. There's a whole Lynch syndrome websites. There's big over in the UK and here. And actually, my first cousin, she also has Lynch syndrome and had colon cancer, but she has a different variance than I do, a little bit. And so we don't think that, because we are the same family, I think she got hers from her mom and I got mine from my mom. But she's actually part of the Lynch Syndrome International. She volunteers for them. She's really big into it to promote people becoming aware of having colonoscopies and preventative treatments and knowledge.
Mary, how did your older sister make out with her endometrial cancer?
Very well. She had a hysterectomy, and that was that.
She was cancer-free after that.
Yeah. She goes to the Mayo Clinic, and I was really kind of disappointed that they do absolutely no follow-up whatsoever. I think she was grade one, so it wasn't as high a grade as me. And, you know, everybody does everything different, but they don't even check blood markers or anything, so... They just feel that she's good, so she's good, and she don't really question what the doctors think or say.
Well, you would think, you know, with her having Lynch syndrome, that maybe they'd keep a closer eye on her. I'm just reading what Lynch syndrome is. It's often called hereditary non-polyposis colorectal cancer. And
yes, no, she hasn't been tested yet to see if she is carrying the gene. We just joined the study up in Washington, but nobody has gotten any results or anything yet from that.
Okay.
What did she think when you told her, or did you tell her that you were on cannabis oil and you changed your diet and you were doing more of an holistic approach?
She's not supportive at all.
Oh.
It's kind of, and she's an RN, a retired RN, and her husband has diabetes really bad, and I did share some cannabis products with him because it helped him out very much. And then her daughter has a very bad autoimmune disease, and she asked me if I would give her an edible. She wanted to try cannabis edibles. Cannabis was just passed in Minnesota, so she has every intention of going and getting her medicinal card and doing that, but she wanted to try it, and so the mother was very unhappy with me that I shared.
Wow. Are you still speaking to your sister?
Not so much. Well, it's a long story.
You know,
I was up there helping my dad. It was hospice, so is a whole big thing.
It's funny, you know, I would have thought maybe once they saw the, once your sister saw the results that you had, that maybe she'd come around to a different way of thinking. I have two RN sisters, and one of them was fairly vocal about not agreeing with my decision to do oil, but now she's one of my biggest supporters since she's seen what it can do.
Wonderful. I have another sister that's an RN, and she is very supportive. In fact, when I was in Minnesota and didn't have any cannabis, she said, "Oh, she thought about we'd have to drive to Colorado to get me some." So,
yeah, it's remarkable how some people are completely brainwashed about cannabis, while others are on the fence and they tend to lean toward it once they know someone, or specifically a family member who's tried it and has tried it with great success. I mean, even your sister's husband, who has terrible diabetes, I mean, he probably would like to take it, but maybe your sister is blocking it. I don't know.
Yeah, and like I said, it just barely passed up there just this last year now. So I'm hoping that she would change, you know, it has such wonderful, wonderful things. And I mean, not just for cancer. I have a friend who has a special needs daughter that has seizures, and you know, I've told her that it would so help your daughter so she could get off some of those terrible medicines that she is on that really aren't controlling her seizures anyway.
Yeah,
hoping that happens.
We were talking to a woman last week who had neck cancer, and she was on 14 different medications to the point where she and her partner were on so many medications. Her partner was on medications for rheumatoid arthritis,
yes.
I believe. They were on so many medications that it was impacting their health. It was making them worse. And they just decided that they were going to try cannabis oil, or use cannabis oil, to wean themselves off these 14 medications, which they did over a one-year period. And they still use cannabis tincture, I believe. Corey, is that right?
Yeah,
tincture.
That's correct, yes.
Yeah, they make it and make it themselves. And they feel so much better being off those medications and on cannabis, because cannabis is... the cannabinoids are a natural chemical for your body, where the pharmaceutical drugs are not. Mary, do you talk to many people about your success using cannabis?
Every chance I get. I can be a little on the opinionated side. And I like, people have got to know that they have other options. That's it. It's a very, very personal decision, and until you've been in your own shoes there, you can't say what you would do. And, you know, I support everybody and their personal choices, but they have to know that
they need to know it's an
option. They do have.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They need to know it's an option, which is really part of the reason, or a big part of the reason, that Ian and I are trying to keep this show going. You know, we need to get the word out there that you do have a choice.
Absolutely. Yes, and cannabis oil is so great for so many different things. Just the variety is so many that how it can help the population and get off of all those other prescription medications.
Are many people that you talk to, are they receptive to trying it, or are they skeptical, or do they push back like your sister?
I would have to say that the majority are very receptive and would like to try it. The only place where I see the most resistance is when you get past a certain age level and that mindset that you're just not going to change it.
Yeah, that age level, would that be over 60?
Yeah, yep, for sure.
Well, you know, it's interesting because, mind you, I'm in that age level.
Right.
I'm on the cusp of the age level. However,
I'm always 39.
Right. Well, I just had my 21st. Yes,
yeah, that's right.
But I find that there's an increasing number of that age level who are actually becoming open to doing this or exploring doing this.
Yes, you know, I have to agree, because whenever I go to any dispensary, it's the age 50 plus.
Yeah.
That is the majority at those dispensaries.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think one of the biggest issue that I see in that age group is they're really afraid to get high. And I just tell them, you don't need to be high. There are ways around that. Don't make this the reason that you don't try and save your life.
Yes, and suppositories using the back door, that's the best way to avoid the high.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's certainly one way that you can do it, absolutely.
There's also citicoline.
Citicoline helps a lot.
I'm not familiar.
You haven't heard me talk about citicoline? If I had a penny for every time I spelt that word, I would go on a trip around the world.
Let me see if I can spell it, because I saw it in the health food store the other day. CITICOLINE.
Yay, Ian. Yes, citicoline. Yeah. So what that's for is mental clarity, but what it does is block the receptor that causes any anxiety or paranoia, and it works like a charm.
Oh.
Yeah, I am the queen of paranoia on cannabis, and it sure made the difference for me in being able to up my dose so that I was effective in killing the cancer.
So what is that made out of, then?
Well, you'd need to talk to somebody who's a little bit more of a chemist than myself. Janet Sweeney...
I'll just Google it.
Yeah, it's good to get to.
I take L-theanine for like anxiety, and that's part of my cancer treatment, too.
Oh, interesting.
But I stopped taking it for a while. I got tired of buying it, but after about 3 months, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to start buying it again.
Well,
because it helps a lot.
Yeah, if you take the citicoline, a tablet, just an hour before you take your cannabis oil, it will prevent or diminish the high, Corey?
For me, it prevented it. You can take up to 12 of those a day. That comes from Dr. Malamud.
Okay.
I just started out by taking two a half hour before, and then I got brave and went to one, and now I don't take any. But also what it's good for, Mary, is in the morning, if you're feeling kind of grogged out, if you've taken a bit too much oil and you're feeling kind of hungover, if you take one of those, you'll snap to in about 10, 15 minutes.
I don't really have so much of a problem. I kind of like the high. My friend was recently diagnosed in the North Dakota, definitely, I don't think he does. He's never used, and so this is something that I will definitely pass on to a friend who was just recently put in our shoes.
Well, if he starts off slowly and takes a small dose and just gets used to it, he can increase the dose. And you should tell him about the citicoline and to prevent the high, diminish the high, and he should be fine.
I heard that for lung cancer, it is the backdoor method is the reaches the best results.
I've probably
What's your opinion,
Mary? I've probably helped oh, I don't know, 200, 250 people with lung cancer, and I'm talking stage 3 and 4. And they do remarkably well on suppositories.
Good. Yeah, he is stage 4. So.
Yeah, absolutely. He's got every hope in the world if he gets on this.
Yes, yeah. That sounds good.
Mary, well, it's great to have talked to you. You had cancer in April of 2015. By the end of September of 2015, thanks to cannabis oil, a change in your diet, vitamin C intravenously, and mistletoe injections, far infrared sauna, you're cancer-free.
I am. I am due for a new PET scan here now, the first week in February, but I'm very optimistic that it'll have the same results as the last one last year was.
Fantastic. Cancer-free. Mary, it was wonderful to talk to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Mary, so much for coming forward and sharing your story.
You guys do great work. Keep it up.
Thanks.
Thank you. And that's it, another edition of Cannabis Health Radio. Wherever you are in the world, thanks very much for listening.
You've been listening to the Cannabis Health Radio podcast. Visit our website, cannabishealthradio.com, and follow us on Facebook and Twitter.